Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Chat, news and your views.
Good morning to you. I'm glad to be coming to, especially it's going to be Mother's Day too, so which is the best kind of woman of all kind anyway, are the ones that are looking after us and nurturing us, so I'm going to celebrate that with you guys in Wexford.
Yours is an incredible career. Yours is an incredible career of achievements, but you're actually bringing it to the stage of the National Opera House this coming Sunday. As you say, it's International Mother's Day. It's International Women's Day today, but it's Mother's Day on Sunday. Any specific kind of theme behind this tour, Eddie? What's the story behind it?
Well, only that I love coming to Ireland, especially at springtime, and springtime is the time of rejuvenation and rebirth, and I think that it's just a wonderful time of the year to be here. I love being in Ireland when the daffodils are shaking around and the crocuses are coming up. It's a lovely time.
I mean,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, look, it's lovely to even talk to you today on this particular show, on this particular day, and the build-up to this wonderful concert. But, I mean, people will instinctively remember you for the album First of a Million Kisses. They'll also remember for your time with Fairground Attraction. But there's far more to you than just that. And I'll let you talk to us a little bit. You began busking on the streets of Scotland, is that right?
Oh, God, I remember my friend Mark and Croft and Bobby. They used to do the cinema cues, and I said, I will only do that. I don't like forcing people to listen to me. So they said, well, what we could do is we could all go to the Barrowlands, which is the marketplace, and on a Saturday, and we could just, you know, sing a few songs. So I went, volunteered, I went along with them, and surprised myself by just the crowd that gathered, and all I was singing was Hank Williams' You're Cheating Heart. I mean, it was just, yeah. It was one of the songs we sung at parties. So I just was doing what we all do in my family, which is get together and sing. So there I was in the street singing to strangers, and everyone was just kind of hanging around and throwing money at us. And there was a wee beggar man who was selling pictures and in a frame. And when I was with Fairground Attraction, and we hadn't made a big success at that point, I took them there, and I got them to busk around this boy, this man, this old man. He must have been in his 80s then, and everybody just threw money at him, and he was up dancing by the end of it. And I love the idea that you can make music happen,
yeah,
just in the raw, you know,
of course,
with folk. Yeah.
I'm going to name drop a little bit with you. Annie Lennox, you toured with the Eurythmics, didn't you? Or did you? Remind me, please.
Yes, she gave me a job when I was down and out. I needed a bit of work. And I suppose with whatever skill I had, which was from my family and singing and just being a kind of family singer, that I found that I was able to identify harmony very quickly and yeah, with my ear, and so everything she sung, if you listen to their album Sweet Dreams, almost every note she sings, yeah, along with herself in harmony. So she needed somebody to do that, and here I was just at the right time to come and do that for her, and then they went to number one,
yeah,
with Sweet Dreams. So it was kind of a brilliant time for me to learn my trade, if you like.
I think Scotland must have been a real hubbub of activity, because I mean, I've memories of speaking to the Fury brothers, and they talked about the time when Jerry Rafferty was there, and Billy Connolly, your name was mentioned, Annie Lennox was mentioned. Did you all kind of, was there kind of like a little hot patch where you all used to meet up, or what was the story there?
No, not so much that, but I think there was an attitude in the generation after the 70s, the late 70s into the 80s, where we were just as good as anybody. And we all had to go down to London, the central government. We had to go down there to sort of make it. We had to convince the English hierarchy that we were good enough. So there was a sort of defiance about that. Connolly was at the forefront of that, because he... Yeah. He went on to the telly, and there he was speaking in our accent, sort of similar to when you guys had the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, you know, and you start speaking in your own voice. So now, since then, it's been a given that there is a brilliant cultural, right, identity involved with being Scottish, and I think people were starting to be a wee bit like defiant and proud. You know, you had the Associates, the Eurythmics, you had Simple Minds, you had all those people just kind of go, no, wait a minute, we're as musical as anybody. And and I think it became it's turned nowadays into real great homespun activity. You've got Biffy Cairo and the Delgados and the Chem 19 and record labels that are born in Scotland now. And that, I think it's fantastic to see that rising. I've witnessed it. So from being a busker when we had nothing and we had to go to London, now we don't. And we can make music, and people do it now on TikTok and Facebook, and they become really famous and wonderfully appreciated for their art. It's wonderful to see it.
I'm being inundated by people asking me to play the song Perfect, so I'm going to play it. I'm looking at the clock. Time is catching up on us. It's this coming Sunday at the Wexford National Opera House in Wexford. You're going to bring your latest material, which I know you had a critically acclaimed album, talking about your Scottish roots. Robbie Burns, you had an album in 2003 which paid tribute to Robbie Burns, isn't that right?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I always wanted to get home again from London where I was stuck, so I managed to gather around a few of the Scottish compadres, and we just ended up... I wanted to do a traditional album because I was in the folk clubs at the beginning. That's where I started to learn how to sing properly with my own voice. And then apart from the Robbie Burns thing, I've often thrown in a couple of traditional songs. So with people like the Furies and the Chieftains and the Dubliners and the English ones like the Albion Band and Steel Eye Span during the late 70s, they were all my education, the folkies. So I would naturally go back to that. And also singing a song with an acoustic guitar, it's kind of folk music like the old way where you would traditionally go round to villages and stop and just play in the raw. It's about singing in the raw and me being an authentic sort of beginner of that. I was never trained in that way professionally or academically. So I would be, I'm kind of walking about the world showing you that when you're born, you could be born with a musical ability and you can actually sing anything you like, and everything you want to communicate through song is folk music to me.
Well, look, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's a lovely way to round off International Women's Day, a special edition of the show. Safe trip to Wexford and enjoy every moment of the beautiful National Opera House. You're going to be made so welcome. The acoustic is perfect.
And I'm going to honour all the wonderful Irish women that were in my life.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Chat, news and your views.